Once again, say the gym of faith. We shared about the gym of faith. Say amen. Amen. What we actually mean when we are speaking on this subject, we say that faith from the book of Jude, which we read, verse what? 20. The Bible says, building.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
So we discussed this matter that muscle is built. You are there, right? One can build a muscle. You go to gym, you exercise. The reason why people do that, it is to gain muscle, to gain strength. Okay, and there are reasons why people do gym, and some gym to look nice, some gym for health benefits, some gym for purposes of being heavyweights. So when you go there, what others are gymming, so what you also gym. Everyone has got different purposes why they're gymming. So women will not gym like men will be gymming. So I told you this, it's very important to understand what really happens in the spirit. So the purpose of gymming, there is a goal. Everybody has got a goal. That type of gym where people go in the physical world is important. Even the Bible recommends it. Okay? However, in 1 Timothy, okay, chapter 4, verse 8. It talks of that one where you go in gym and gym it.
For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
So the scripture says the other gym which you guys do, okay, or which people do, and my wife, it says that one, it profits little. But the spiritual gym, it profits in all things. Because you can go to gym and have muscles and all that and have no money in your account. So you profit, yes, but it's little. But there is a gym, the Bible says this one, it is godly, godliness. It says this one profits in all things, having a promise of things of now and even of things to come. So there is an ability where we can actually use our faith and begin to exercise. And the scripture says what? It says, building yourselves up. So there is a way we can build our faith and develop a muscle, a stamina. I'm not trying to explain what I already explained last time. I'm just trying to give you this as I want to tell you what we want to do now. Because faith, we saw this on Monday. Jesus warned his disciples not of having faith. No, he didn't say they don't have faith. He says, weak faith. Hello? He says, you have weak faith, little faith. The book of Romans 4 speaks of weak faith. He was not weak in faith. Meaning, you can be strong in faith. You can also be what? Weak in faith. And all of them is called what? Faith. So you have weak faith or you have strong faith. Now, a man who doesn't gym and a man who gyms. The one who doesn't gym is weaker. The man who gyms is strong. What gives him strength is the exercise. In the spirit realm, we are taught in the book of Jude that you can actually build up a muscle of faith. Let's check Hebrews 12, verse 1. Okay? Can you read it?
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
So we see two things on that scripture. It talks of running with endurance. Hello? Now, when you do that, what do they call that? All right, you go on a treadmill and you start running. Even if you get tired, do you stop? You run with what? Endurance. The Bible says we should be running with endurance. Now, it says we must lay aside every weight. The reason why people go in gym, one of the reasons is to lay aside what? Weight, to remove some weight. I'm trying to talk to people who don't even gym, and that's the whole problem. They don't even like... They're like, what is he talking about? Yeah. So the Bible says, it says, when you run, and if you see from the scripture, they are using a metaphor of what happens in the physical gym, in the physical exercise. It says, you should run with what? Endurance. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little. So you have a profit, but it's a little. But it then says, but godliness is profitable in all things. So the moment you begin to develop, to say, I know I have faith, but I want my faith to change. And in Mark chapter 9, the scripture talks about Jesus. When he arrived at the family scene where there was a little child, and this little child had a problem of epilepsy, and this child had two demons, strong demons. There was a spirit of fire, a demonic spirit of fire, the demon of Merrick. We know it by name because we do deliverance. There was a demon of fire, and there was a demon of water. There was a spirit of water, and the scripture says every time this child is close to fire, it will throw him on the fire. Whenever he's close to water, it will throw him in the water, because the spirit was a spirit of water and a spirit of fire. And the disciples went to cast out that such a demon, and the Bible says they could not. Hello? Now I'm talking to somebody right now who's watching me. You've been praying for a long time, and a certain spirit is on leaving your children. A certain spirit is on leaving you. Now hear this, and I want you to hear this. So Jesus comes, and what Jesus blames, he does not blame the people. He doesn't blame the demon. He doesn't say, you stubborn spirit. He says, you of little faith. The problem here was faith deficiency. He doesn't. Can you imagine you come there and you say, no, Jesus now is here now. Now, they were thinking Jesus would shout at the spirit to say, you spirit, why they are casting you out in my name and you're not coming out? He says, you of little faith. I told you this. How does it feel to have people in the world there who don't know your God? To compete with you, and then they should win you. And yet Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. How does it feel just to open, to say, I opened something, I closed it. And they're talking with you, dry eyes. Like, I closed it, wasn't moving. Papa, things aren't moving at all. After this teaching and the gym of faith we're doing right now, I told you, expect exponential miracles. We are going to show the world who we are. Come on, say with me these words. I'm going to show the world who really I am. Am I talking to you? Listen to me, and I want you to get this. So, now what we dealt with was, don't just believe it. It's time to demonstrate it. But for you to demonstrate it, you need to build your faith up. To build your faith up. To build the momentum of faith. And when the faith has been bound to the moment, then we speak. Am I talking to you right? You know what the Bible says? It says faith comes by hearing. And hearing. Meaning to say faith can be built. I'm talking to someone right here. Faith can be built. Listen to me. You can be watching me right now. And then you can get into a level of faith where you just find yourself rising up and just knowing, I'm doing it tomorrow. People think those great men in the Bible did what they did because they were anointed. No. There are people who were anointed and did nothing. King Saul, in the whole book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where it says, by faith, this one did this. By faith, this one did this. By faith. Yet King Saul was anointed. They had a similar prophet, same spiritual father. One spiritual father, his name was Samuel, had two spiritual sons, Saul and David. One anointed by the same prophet. One also anointed by the same prophet. Yet one is hiding in a tent from Goliath. And one is saying, I have anointing on my head. I will face Goliath. So as I speak right now, there is one son or one daughter somewhere else who's hiding. Scared of consequences. And one says, I'll confront my Goliath. Am I talking to you? So if you look at it, it is not an issue of just saying I am anointed or they were anointed. No. That's what the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews. It is saying that whatever they did, it was by faith. When people see David facing Goliath, they think it's because he was David. He was God's child. No. It was faith. The man said, today, your head will be in my hand. I told you this, that you may actually think you have got faith, or it's not faith. It's a fear. If you have a neighbor, ask him, is it faith or fear? There is no one who believes so much than a person in trouble. And they may even confuse fear with the faith. They wake up at night, I will pray today. Ah, today, I'm praying today. Father Lord, your word says, they begin to quote scriptures. Your word says, when the problem is gone, a few moments later, sleeping from 6 to 6. Listen to me. Faith, the one I'm teaching right now, it is the one that produces results. You say out and it is out. You say healed and it's healed. I'm not talking a faith that you actually brought, you came in the church or you came in this ministry because you had a need. And it is the need that brought you here and you kept on believing and say, I'm believing and have faith. No. The faith I'm talking about is the one that must be built up. So right now we are in the spiritual gym. The most important thing in faith is to build up a muscle. We looked this already. Why? Because there is always an evil day that is coming in your life. Faith in scripture, it has been put like a shield on all weapons of warfare. Meaning to say, if I stand over here like this and the enemy is throwing anything out there, I will not defend myself by anything but by faith. What if you write an amount somewhere there and begin to say, this amount is coming? But the problem is, you look in your bank account, you look at your status, you look at connections, you have zero connections. And because of that, you begin to make conclusions. It's not possible. The Bible says they heard the same message we heard. But to them, they did not profit. Because when they heard what we heard, they did not mix with the faith. Imagine I'm teaching right now. And then you just hear the prophet teach. And they get inspired, motivated, and happy, and amen, and they go to sleep. And one person says, what he's teaching, I'm going to mix it with the faith. I'm going to take this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Are you there? The Bible says many believed in Jesus, but one woman took a step of faith. These are two different. They were all believing, they were all following. But one woman, in the midst of those who are believing, took a step of faith and said, if I touch him, I'll be healed. Queen Esther. I heard one woman, she said, Papa, pray for me. I said, okay. She said, I need the anointing of Queen Esther. I said, what do you mean? She said, I am believing your God to connect me to a man of high profile for marriage, like Queen Esther. And I said, to start with, when last did you fast? She said, I have forgotten. I said, listen, Queen Esther could stay 3 days, 3 nights, no food for marriage. I said, 3 days. three nights. Number one. I said number two. She made up a bold move. She said, I'm going to go to the palace. At that time, every Jew was being killed. If they see you near the palace, it's even worse. And she said, I will not be afraid of those soldiers. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. But before I take that bold step, we are fasting. Don't think these things were just happening like they were supposed to happen. She was anointed. God told her to do it. No. These were steps of faith. We're going to have some declarations. Mark 11, verse 24.
Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Therefore, I say to you, whatever. Now, before we go ahead in this gym of faith, is the scripture saying some things? Answer me. He's saying what? Ask yourself a question. Are you asking God whatever or some things? Everybody else, ask yourself that question right now. Do I ask God whatever? Or I have got certain things that I'm asking God because other things in my mind, they are too big to happen. Before we even start anything, because that's where we begin to know whether you have got faith or not. Where you are, let's deal with this issue because we are trying to bring out the faith in you. Are you operating on logic? Or are you operating on the spirit? Because in logic, are you here right?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. For you to buy a car tomorrow because there's no money, there's no what. So in logic, it doesn't what?
It doesn't make sense. That's not
correct. So if you believe God to buy a house and you have faith to say, I'm going to do this, and then you look at your budget, say, ah, the way I am with how I make, I think this amount of money, 2-bedroom, I have faith in Jesus' name. That's not faith. Eh? It's what everybody is doing in town. They are building according to their budgets. So stop deceiving yourself that you have got faith. The Bible doesn't say some things. It says, whatever, ask. And the one who was talking is not about Apostle Paul. It's Jesus himself. He says, whatever. So before I continue, it's a question. Let's have this question before we go ahead. Everybody else, wherever you are. Okay, this is a journal question that you should ask yourself and write down and list it down. Do I ask God things which I only think can be done, or even things my mind tells me they're impossible? That answer in your mind will tell you whether you have got great faith or weak faith. Because you cannot say you have faith when you have got a limited mind. Because that is logic. Exactly. Read again the verse.
Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Are you there, right? Yes. Exactly. So faith is not logic. In psychology, there is a course which I studied. It's called ontology. The study of existence, being. Does it exist? So what makes a person to make a decision is because they think it exists. And that's why people think God does not exist, because they have not seen him. They have not touched him. In ontology, what you can't see, what you can't touch, does not exist. But then it can be challenged, because the fact that you don't know Major One exists, it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. It's you who don't know he exists. There are people somewhere who don't know me. And in their world, I don't exist. Am I talking to you? So in your world, I don't exist, but I do. 100% in my wife's heart. I exist. Maybe you're not getting it. Do you really think some people know you exist? Sometimes when you're walking, you feel like everybody knows you exist. Shut up. People who know you, maybe they're only 750. The fact that you think somebody does not exist, it does not mean they don't exist. They are there. It's only you who think they don't. So in logic, it does not make sense. Hello? It does not make sense for you to buy something when you have no money. Money, that it doesn't exist in your account. There is no existence of money. How would you do it without existence of what will give you access to buy what you want to buy? So you will need a proof, something tangible. You will need a contract. You will need a job. You will need this. So according to science, are you there, right?
Yes.
According to science, and according to philosophy, according to ontology, it's not possible. But according to the spirit, when Mary asked a psychological question, she said, how will this be? Because in ontology, I have never slept with a man. In ontology, it does not exist. Where a woman becomes pregnant without a husband. Am I talking to you? Even if it was in your world today, and then you are going to your husband or your boyfriend who never touched you for 2 years, you say, baby, God has done it again. So, God, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has done it again. So what's wrong, my love? I'm pregnant. And against the Father. So you see the contrast between the spirit and the natural.
It makes a lot of sense now.
Are you there, right?
Yes.
So when the Bible says we don't walk by sight, what Paul is saying, we don't go by what we see.
Exactly.
That's ontology, what we are able to see to say it exists. No, we go by faith. We walk by faith. And what is that faith? Seeing the invisible. Starting from God himself. He's invisible and we see him.
Yes.
We feel God who we can touch.
Yes.
So if somebody says, there is no God, why we have never seen him? It does not mean Major One doesn't see him. In fact, this morning I was talking to him. So in my world he exists. I'm talking to somebody, right? Some here. So we're about to do something now. Anyone else, if you have something that you want God to do for you, today's exercise on the gym of faith. All right. Raise up a right hand. Say in the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
As I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I raise my faith.
I raise my faith.
That's the first point we're doing tonight.
Yes.
You're going to do this again. We're going to repeat this statement for four times. So we did one, we remaining three. So as I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I raise my faith.
I raise my faith.
As I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I raise my faith.
I raise my faith.
As I raise my hand.
As I raise my hand.
I raise my faith.
I raise my faith.
Drop down your hand. The next step we're doing in the gym of faith. Get ready, everybody else. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you tired already?
No.
All right, we need endurance in this gym. Everybody else, get ready, because this will not come. You will start seeing results in hours. Come on, I say you will start seeing results. This is not the gym you go for 2 years now, and you haven't seen results yet. You're even thinking of stopping now. It's not that type of a gym. This one has got results. So, the Bible says when Jesus came and saw this child with the two demonic spirits, the spirit of water and the spirit of fire, in Mark chapter 9, and the Bible says Jesus didn't blame the disciples. Failure or weakness, he blamed their faith. And he blamed the parents' faith. He didn't blame the demon. He didn't blame the spirit for throwing the child in the fire, but he blamed their faith. He said, you of little faith. Because according to Jesus, if they had enough faith, they could have cast out that demon. But they had faith, but it's just that it was little. And then they said, and the father said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Meaning to say faith was there, but not enough.
Yes, sir.
The fact that you have faith and you have been following God for years, it does not mean your faith is enough to counterattack the challenge you are facing. It does not mean your faith is enough to produce the results required. So second step we're doing tonight in this gym of faith, you're going to raise up your two hands now and you're going to say the following words. Say, Lord.
Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
Increase my faith.
Increase my faith.
You're going to say it again. Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Increase my faith.
Increase my faith.
We're going to have a moment of silence, and I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and breathe out. Breathe in and out. As you're doing this, we're calling it the breath of faith. Now, we're trying to move into a point where we're about to start speaking words. And you're going to hold your breath just a little bit. Don't do it now. Don't do it yet. You're going to hold your breath a little bit, and then you're going to believe God for anything that you want to be done. Okay? And this is whatsoever. Okay? Whether it's going to be a financial figure, whether it's going to be healing, whether it's going to be a breakthrough, a connection, whatsoever that you want, or you want to break out. You are tired of being limited. I want you to do that right now. Just hold a breath and think something. And then you can release your breath after thinking something. In this gym of faith, I welcome you once again. In this gym of faith, we do not give up. Everything here is so possible. Some right now, they'll get faith that will produce marriages. Some will get their children delivered. And some will get their promotion. And some, as I'm speaking to you right now, as we are doing this type of faith and believing, their faith is being raised up to a point whereby great things will begin to happen. Now I'm going to raise up a hand again and say the following words with me. Say, as I raise my hand,
as I raise my hand,
I declare,
I declare,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
impossibilities,
impossibilities,
do not exist,
do not exist,
with the God I save,
with the God I save.
This is not just a confession.
This is not just a confession.
This is a declaration.
This is a declaration
of faith.
Of faith.
In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I cast out impossibilities.
I cast out impossibilities.
I cast out impossibilities.
I cast out impossibilities.
I command.
I command
limitations.
Limitations
to be removed.
To be removed.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Nothing will stop me.
Nothing will stop me.
Nothing will hold me.
Nothing will hold me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
From tonight.
From tonight.
I'm moving in a world.
I am moving in the world.
Of possibilities.
Of possibilities.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
At this point in time, I want us to confront something that I'm going to lead you into in this exercise, in this gym of faith. I want you to ask yourself a question. What is the common weight that I fail to lift? Remember, the purpose of heavy weight lifters, it is for them to be able to carry out some weights which others cannot. They become so strong that what they can carry, you can't. You hear, right? So they'll put some plates this side and that side, and then they'll pick up. They say, put more. And they'll start counting. In fact, they'll be counting up to 100. You can't even lift it up. But they'll pick it and start just, you know, as if it's nothing. Why? Because of discipline. There is a particular discipline that has helped them to develop endurance. And they are able to carry what others cannot carry. Are you here? So everyone else here, the scripture says what? It says, God is faithful. My God. It says, He cannot give you what you cannot carry. It says, He cannot allow you to face what you cannot lift. Meaning to say, whatsoever you are facing now, Jesus is expecting you to lift it up. But what is making you to fail to lift it up? It is the ability of your faith. But when you, using discipline, develop a muscle, you're just going to pick it up like, ah. So whatsoever weight that is coming upon you, it could be the weight of delay, weight of stagnation, weight of sickness, weight of marital problems, whatsoever weight, I want you to ask yourself a question. Which weight do I constantly find myself in? When you go to gym, these are the things that the person going in gym has actually a purpose, and they actually know to say, me, the weight that attacks me most, it's on my tummy. And others will be like, no, not me, not my tummy, but my hands. And I want to lose weight in my hands. So that's the word you want to take out. So you, which weight comes to you? Is it to do with the delay? Is it financial stagnation? Is it marital problem? Is it your children? And when these things come to you, they become so heavy in your life. Am I talking to you? They become what? So heavy. So I want every one of you in this moment of gym, I want you to identify the name of your weight. and the area of your weight, because we want to lift it up. We want to confront it. Identify. Everybody else, as you're standing, ask yourself a question. This moment, ask that question. Which area am I attacked? Which weight usually comes to my direction? And I want to lay it out. I want to lift it. I want to remove it. That's the most important question before we go ahead. I'm going to give you a few seconds. Now that you have found a place, you're going to do another exercise. We're going to have 2 minutes prayer walk. 2 minutes prayer walk. 2 minutes prayer walk is when you walk and you pray. We're going to do 2 minutes prayer walk. And we're going to be praying. Not the way you normally pray. No, this one is called the prayer. It's a prayer of faith. And how we do it, you do down. Use medium words, a medium voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And by that time, you'll be thinking. That thinking is not thinking. It is what we call the charging thoughts. You know, charging thoughts. Thoughts that are making you to be charged. Where you begin to say, I'm going to do that now. I'm going to be there. You'll be confronting what is the area of your weight. Is it witchcraft? Confront it. Is it delay? Confront it. Is it whatsoever that has been happening around you? I want you to confront the enemy.